Yeah, look, I think you get statements like that, and that's a big ask, you know, total submission. So it comes back to the old chestnut that we often talk about, which is you read something like that and then you make it an outcome. So you go out and you try to be totally submissive. And of course, what you find is that doesn't work, right? You can't do it. So why is it there? Well, I think it's more about giving insight into the process that you have to go through in order to arrive at where the Lord wants us. So the important thing is that we don't take memory knowledges and create our sense of what it should be from our own intellectual as to what that looks like, but rather like we always have to leave things that are tied to outcome to the Lord and come back to what's being supplied as the means, and the means is what our work is on a day-by-day basis. And if we attend to that, then those things that the Lord seeks to have enacted within us will come to pass. The process is you have to be working now, because now is all there is. That's all we've got. And that idea of submission, it's really talking about the submission of the natural to the spiritual, so that it's its servant. And it all hangs on us being able to give up our life right down to, what does it describe in the text, our ground and person. So it's giving up an illusion that we have life in ourselves. Again, as I've said before, you know, this is the irony in it. What we're asked to give up doesn't actually have any substance to it. But we struggle to see that. So we have to let go of outcomes and expectations. These are the weapons of the opprobrium to hold us in despair and to exalt itself above the text itself. So the opprobrium believes it knows best, and because it believes it knows best, it calls into question the authority of the word. And that really is what faith alone is. Because when you're caught in that state, it pulls us away from our need to work or to see that we need to work. Because why would you follow something that you don't agree with? That's the point. So it takes effort to come back to the core basic principles as to what's being asked of us in Logopraxis. To see all this is the mercy and gift of the Lord. So the word doesn't set forth proofs, but invites us to enter into it so that we can gain affirmations, so that memory knowledges can be organized in a way that supports what the word says is true. So I was reminded of a reading in Heaven and Hell where it talks about where celestial angels don't reason about things, they just accept. But in the particular discussion, it was like the illustration was given, it would be like walking up to a house and saying to someone, or trying to prove to someone that the house was there and the garden was there. And to a celestial state, it's just obvious. It doesn't need explanation or proofs. So it just reminded me that these things in the text that are described are a no-brainer to a spiritual outlook. They are a problem from a natural outlook, and that is the conflict that we find ourselves in. And the whole process is one of bringing the natural into subjection to the spiritual so that it can serve it. And that's what the story is about. So the word invites us to enter into the text and to experience what it's describing. This is what we have all signed up for. So the fact that you have experienced despair is because the word has invited you in and has given you the experience that it's describing. in the text. So you have a living experience of what these processes are so that they can be illustrated for you.